All right, comedian, author, top podcaster, Adam Carolla. Big fan of his. He's going to join us later on to talk about awesome documentary, also his book, and just the state of this crazy world we're in. So stick around for that, guys. I know a lot of you out there love Adam Carolla, so that's going to be fun. Joe Biden snapped at a reporter. He also had another gaffe. So we'll get to all of that. Cam Cam's been real quiet. No questions for her. We'll talk about all that. And the McCloskeys are back. McCloskeys are back in epic fashion. If you haven't seen this, this is pretty awesome. Plus, don't miss After Hours today. We're going to talk Breonna Taylor. We're going to get into Louisville. We're going to get into a lot of that stuff. We're just not going to do it during the regular show today. But it is coming, so you can catch it there. All of it starts right now. All right, guys, happy to be back in the studio. I know it's been kind of a wonky week. We've had some different types of episodes that went out there just so we got you something to consume. But back in the studio, back full steam ahead. Had an awesome experience. Great commercial shoot with Mammoth Nation this week. We've got some fun new commercials that are coming your way, so we can't wait to share those with you, not just here on the show, but everywhere. It's going to be on TV and a lot of different places. And, folks, there's been awesome response to Mammoth Nation. There really has been. So many of you have joined this awesome conservative discount club and are taking part in the fight to make sure that we win back these seats, or we win new seats, going to conservative candidates, getting Trump reelected. So hell of a job there. Keep it up. There's some of you who are just doing it wrong. You haven't joined yet. $19 a year, folks. It's better than a donation. You get discounts and all sorts of amazing stuff. You're going to pay for it right there. So those of you who've done it, keep it up. Spread the good word. Those of you who haven't, check it out, guys. It makes a difference. Like, this is crazy, crazy times out there. What we're seeing, what we're experiencing, what we're hearing. And we need your support. We need your support to do it. So go to mammothnation.com and check them out. Give them a chance. We love them here, and we think that you will too. So we're going to talk Breonna Taylor in After Hours, like I said, in the cold. I know that's a big story, so hang with us. It'll be at the end of the podcast, or you can just go watch the After Hours section. But we'll talk a little bit about that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it throughout the week because that's not going anywhere. But let's start a little lighthearted. Let's have a little fun here. This is a clip that you may have seen, you may not have seen, but there's protesters everywhere. There's obviously, as we get close to the election, there's Trump pop-up tents selling, you know, goods and merchandise. There's, you know, as Trump is coming into a city for a campaign event, a rally, what have you. People will be out there with their signs. There's a lot of enthusiasm and support for President Trump. We know that. We talk about it all the time. Joe Biden has none. Joe Biden doesn't know where he is. But people are all about President Trump. They're very, very excited about who he is and where he's taking our country. So there were some Trump people on the side of the road. And this one angry liberal woman just couldn't handle it. Just couldn't handle it. But she doesn't remember. She doesn't know. She does now. She knows now. She definitely knows now that if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. This is what happened when she tried to get angry at the Trump supporters, roll one. I love it. For those of you listening on the podcast, she was given the double bird, decided she needed to lean further out of the car to give the double bird to the protesters, forgetting that other cars stop and go. There's just this natural flow of traffic, and the car in front of her stopped, and she ran right into the back of it. It's a little fender bender there. And guess whose fault that was? Not the person in front. Not the person in front. I thought it was hilarious. Couldn't have happened to a more deserving woman. Can't imagine being married to that. So that was just kind of a fun one. But let's get to the serious stuff here. Let's cruise the headlines. So Joe Biden is the gift that just keeps giving. I kind of don't want the election to end because I want to keep Joe Biden in the discussion. Thankfully, I don't think it's going to end, not thankfully, because it's stupid that that's the case, but it's probably not going to be over on November 3rd. It's not going to be a traditional election year. So we'll get a little bit, but I think we're going to win, so don't worry. I think we're going to win, but we're going to get a little bit more of Biden and Cam because it's going to get drug out. And it's, again, very stupid that it is. But Biden, he's the gift that keeps on giving, and he gets angry. I talk about it all the time. This is one of the reasons I can't wait for the debate, because all of the debates, assuming he can show up and he doesn't get COVID beforehand, is he not only stumbles over everything he says, but he gets angry. He picks fights. We've seen it, you know, his whole AR-14 comment, which is laughable in the first place. But we've seen him pick fights with just normal citizens. Not very presidential, not very classy, not any of those things. But he does it. That's the Scranton and Joe comes out, as he would call it. I have no problem with people from Scranton. I think it's a great town. Gave us a great show in The Office. But I don't love Joe. But he got angry with the reporter for asking very fairly a question about his son, Hunter Biden, during a Q&A session here, and he got angry, and we're going to see more of this Tuesday, but this was the scene, roll two.
How was your role as vice president in charge of policy in Ukraine, and your son's job in Ukraine, how is that not a conflict of interest?
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not gonna respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing, that no president has ever done. No president.
Focus on this man. So he gets angry. And again, that's a fair question. And there is information on Hunter Biden. You just want to say that there's not, hoping that your followers and your minions will believe it because you're lying outright, and that the mainstream media will protect you, which they will. They'll do it. They'll do that for you, Joe. I don't think they really believe in you, but they'll do it because they don't like Trump. But there's a new 87-page report that also, there's tons of info on Ukraine, China. I mean, Hunter Biden's made a lot of money for doing nothing other than cocaine. He's really good at doing that. But he's made a lot of money for doing nothing. There's a new report that he received $3.5 million from Elena Baterina, richest woman in Russia. So there's, I just bring that up as an example. We've heard all the Ukraine stuff, the Burisma stuff. We've heard the China stuff. We've now heard this. And there's plenty there. But the Democrats' tactic is always just lie and then throw something else out there to talk about, which is exactly what he does here. He gets mad. There's no information on that, which is a lie. Talk about this man. Like, all you can do is blame Trump for stuff. All you can do is be, and I get it, it's a campaign season, it's election season. That's what people do, is they throw mud. But, like, you've got nothing. Like, at least people in the past had, like, some, like, Obama, as bad as a president as he was, lots of charisma, lots of energy, articulate. You know, you could see why people listened to him and bought whatever he said, hook, line, and sinker. You don't have that, Joe. You don't have that at all. So you lie and then you distract. That's what you do. Lie and distract. It's the Democrat way. But then this was funny, too. I thought it was funny. You know, speaking of taking jabs at Trump, he was having a black summit of some variety. It'll say it on the sign in the background of where he is. But he's having this black summit, and then after he does his speech and he just, you know, works his way through it with his note cards and attacks Trump, he takes some Q&A, and he tried to take a jab at Trump here. Roll three.
The president was in Ohio, a couple days ago at a rally. I don't want to misquote him. And he said at the rally, and I wrote this down, he said that we're virtually turning a corner. Nobody is really dying. He said, you know, yeah, elderly people are dying, and they're dying because they have heart conditions or other, but quote, unquote, virtually, they're virtually nobodies. They're the only ones dying. So you go home and your mom's gone, your dad's gone. He's a virtual nobody? The idea, the way we're talking about people, and this is all within our power to do something. The virus wasn't his fault. The way he's handled it has been close to criminal.
You can listen to the rest of his talk if you feel so inclined. I don't think that you probably will, but so much here. I love that he says, I've got to look at this. I've got notes. I had to write down what he said. Then he can't figure out, one, which way to hold his note card. Which way did he write it? And he never really read anything from there. So I don't know what the hell was on that card. Certainly what he said and either read or tried to take off of his note card, whether it was upside down or horizontal, whatever, was not what President Trump said. He didn't call these people nobodies, which is what Joe just said. He didn't say that. The mainstream media lost their minds over his comment, Trump's comment the other day about this. Joe, they lost it for a different reason. They lost it because they're downplaying, that he says Trump is downplaying stats and deaths, which we'll get to in a second. But Joe is literally taking his comment and saying it the wrong way and saying Trump's calling these people who died nobodies, which he didn't say or infer. He couldn't read his card, whatever was on there. It was just another gaffe by him. So Trump said it virtually affects nobody. He was talking about kids. He's talking about all the new data that comes out, or that came out, excuse me, and has shared the survivability rates or mortality rates, whichever way you want to look at it. But how the odds are really, really good. And certainly for children under 18, they're... the concern's almost non-existent. But even, excuse me, even for the older generation, as more and more data comes out, the odds are still really good. The odds are still really good, no matter which age demographic you are in. So he was saying that, and Trump, in his delivery, in a sarcastic way, his goal is to get things back open and get things moving and to stop this bogus push of fear and lies and manipulating the data that the mainstream media and the Democrats are doing, which is so evident that they are. Doesn't mean that it's not a disease, that's not real, doesn't mean any of that stuff. But he's trying to just say, look, odds are in your favor. Yes, it can happen. Yes, lots of people have died. One is too many. We've had 200,000. That's too many. But most of them, as we've seen from CDC, had other conditions that played into it. And it's not just you caught COVID, you died from COVID. That's not been the case. So the media lost their minds, though, and they're saying that 200,000 are dead. And if that was, again, if that was all just purely COVID, that would be awful and terrifying. It's awful no matter what, but that's not the true discussion that's happening. That's a manipulation of facts and data to scare people for political gain for Democrats. This was a similar exchange. Jim Acosta, who's a douche, most smug reporter ever, he's having an exchange with Kayleigh McEnany. This was the scene. Roll four.
If you don't mind, if I could follow up. Last night, the president said at one of his rallies about the virus, I think he was talking about younger Americans. He said it affects virtually nobody. By the way, open your schools, everybody, open your schools. But he said to Bob Woodward, it's not just older people, it's young people too. At 200,000 deaths, shouldn't the president be telling people the truth about this virus at his rallies?
The president is telling people the truth, and you're right, Jim, that
he's saying that it affects virtually nobody and that it doesn't affect young people. He's not telling the truth.
Jim, but you're, again, taking the president out of context. I have his full quote here, and you're right that he was referring to young people. He said this.
Well, no, I'm not taking it out of context. If I said he was talking about younger people, then I'm not taking it out of context.
You are taking it out of context because you're making an assertion that he's not giving critical information when, in fact, he is. And I will underscore exactly what he said. And he said this, you know, in some states, thousands of people, and they've had nobody young, below the age of 18, like nobody. They have a strong immune system. That is factually true. You can go to the American Academy of Pediatrics website, the Children's Hospital Association, and they list out a number of states that have had zero pediatric deaths.
Can contract the coronavirus and then spread it to older people.
And
we've known this since the very beginning. And for the President of the United States, at 200,000 deaths, to go out to his rallies and say something like it virtually affects nobody, and that in some states
it's not affecting young people. That is glossing over the fact and really diminishing the fact that young people can catch this virus and spread it to older people. Younger people can also be sickened and killed by this virus.
Jim, do you have the quote there with you?
I have the quote here, yes.
Yes, it is exactly as I just read it to you, that in several states, they have had zero pediatric deaths. I have the entire list here: Arkansas, Delaware, District of Columbia, Hawaii, Idaho, Kansas, and the list goes on. And as you may not know, Jim, the COVID has a 0.01% mortality rate for people under the age of 18. So it is not a disease that affects young people in the same way as older people, which is the exact point the president was making last night.
So again, you can take what you want from that. You can take what you want from Joe's. You can take what you want from the mainstream media. But the reality is this. The version that the media is pushing down, again, with all of with the 200,000 deaths, is not fair and representative of just COVID or just this situation or just that situation, because there's a myriad of things that play into that. And most of them are not pure COVID deaths. Some of them are. Most of them are not. Talking about the age stuff. Yes, these kids are in a much better shape. And then there's other demographics where the numbers, you know, get a little bit worse for you. But the point of all of it is, and what he's trying to stress is, it is bad. It is. There are bad cases. There are scary things that happen. There are too many people dying. But on the whole, this thing is hurting us much more in terms of fear and keeping our economy down when the data shows emphatically that we don't need to be treating it the way that the mainstream media is pushing it. Because, again, you can make a big number. The deaths are this many or that many. But if they're not purely from that, then you can't really say that. You can't really say that. And that's what they're doing. They're pushing fear. Again, the survivability rate is high in all age demographics. It gets lower as you get older. But it's still not the most scary number you've ever seen. Go look at some of the new data that's out there. Make your own determination. And with all of this, as we've said time and time again, if you are buying into it, hook, line, and sinker, and are scared to death of coronavirus, don't go out. You can have everything under the sun delivered these days. Sanitize it outside your door before you bring it in the house, and just be a hermit for the rest of your life. If you have conditions, pre-existing conditions, heart failure, diabetes, whatever, like, be smart. But the whole world can't be punished for people who are terrified and some people who have conditions, because That's just reality. It sucks for some people, but the reality is the rest of us can't be punished. I'm telling you, traveling this week sucked. Traveling during this time is awful. Wearing that mask the whole time, though you can take it off for other times. It's like going to a restaurant. You know, you walk in, you have to wear a mask. Can't spread germs then, there's not even clear-cut science that says that's even the case. But then once you sit down, you can spread it. Same thing. You're on plane. Part of the time you have to wear it. Part of the time you don't have to. Very small part. Man, I tried to milk the shit out of my drink and snack. I usually eat fast. I was little bites. But if you're scared, stay home. If you're confused, go find better data and make smarter decisions. Don't just listen to what Jim Acosta says and these other people say. When they do, they take numbers, comments, all that stuff out of context because they want you scared. They want you scared. They need you scared. And some of you should be, but not most of you. All right, real quick. Interesting. I hadn't thought of this. We've talked a little bit about Cam Cam and how she's been hidden. Hasn't done that much since being nominated. But this was said last night, and it's just something to pay attention to. I'll say that, and then we'll toss it to break. But it's been over 40 days. Over 40 days since she was named vice president. They galloped around in their masks and had some awkward press conferences, acceptance speeches, this, that, and the other. But Joe, who never travels, he's starting to more now because they realized that he was losing some serious momentum in the polls because he was hiding in the basement, and people don't want leaders hiding in the basement. That's not what the leader of the free world does. But as disastrous as he's been, you kind of thought, okay, they're going to move her out to the front and have her be the face, have her be the voice because, well, she's crazy and hasn't accomplished much either, like Joe. She's at least more coherent. You know, she's more coherent. She's not an overly unattractive person. Like, there's something that could be there. There could be a face. But she's really been hidden, and not once has she made herself available to a formal, other than a couple one-offs here and there, to like a formal Q&A session, which Biden has done horribly, and it's a horrible idea, and most of them are lobball questions, and they're still mistakes. But for some reason, Cam hasn't. I wonder why that is. I don't know. We'll talk about it more. But it was an interesting point that I wanted to share with you. Thought we'd do that. Okay, on the other side, McCloskeys, that famous couple we all know who the McCloskeys are now. They're back in the news for something pretty awesome. I think it's pretty awesome, at least. And then Sheriff Grady Judd basically trolled the whole world as we know it at this press conference with Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. So we'll share that with you. I think it's pretty epic, pretty awesome. I liked the guy before. Now I love the guy. Absolutely cool. Okay. You can see on the bottom of the screen there. Go to DrewBurkus.com. Guys, I tell you right now, as we approach this election season, whether you believe this or not, several partners we work with, several people in the industry on the conservative side are getting squelched. We are getting throttled down. The amount of traffic and views are, you know, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Google, whoever, they're blocking it. So we need your support. We need more eyeballs there. It keeps us employed. It keeps us bringing shows to you. It keeps, more importantly than all of that, though, take us out of the equation, it keeps conservative voices and messaging going strong. So go to DrewBurkus.com. Tons of commentary for you there. Articles from our team, from partners. We're adding more here coming soon. So great stuff there. Also, give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler. We greatly appreciate your support and engagement there. Don't just like it, but engage. Let's chat through stuff. We want to hear from you. And then if you haven't already, please subscribe right down here in the corner on YouTube. We love bringing this show to you, but we need subscribers. We need engagement and involvement there too. So it's been a great response. Let's keep that going. Please do that and share away with friends and family. All right, on the other side, we'll get to McCloskeys. We'll get to Grady Judd. A lot of fun stuff. And it's Adam Carolla still to come. Stick around.
Mammoth Nation is the discount club for conservatives. You get great discounts on name brand products and services, and the proceeds help candidates who support the right causes. Plus, the money you save from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Liberal Democrats are destroying America, and we can't let Joe Biden be president. It's time to join the fight. Strength in numbers. We give the silent majority a resounding voice. Go to mammothnation.com and let's win this fight together.
All right, welcome back, folks. Some fun stories to get to this block. We're going to have a good time with, I think they're amusing at least. I think that you will too. But this segment is brought to you by Hero Soap Company. You can see them right here. Awesome products. Just one example here. Tons more on the site that you can pick and choose from. Veteran-owned company, y'all, put a huge focus on getting homeless veterans off the street in conjunction with Operation Finally Home. And their soap is off the chain. It's all natural. No nasty fragrances and chemicals in there that competitor soap companies use and are harmful to your skin, by the way, can cause health complications. This is legit stuff. This is real. And again, it's veteran owned. It's made right here in the USA, out in Arizona. So awesome, awesome all the way around. Head on over to herosoapcompany.com and subscribe for a no contract monthly delivery of soap right to your front door. Never run out again. Again, it's herosoapcompany.com. Let freedom clean. All right. So you remember the McCloskeys, right? Is all of this craziness that 2020 offered up to us earlier this year happened? There was the BLM mob who broke into a gated community, threatened to burn their house down, to kill them, to kill their dog, and they were out there with the worst mechanics and safety principles in the history of mankind with their firearms defending their home. But they were justifiably so defending their home. They've been at the RNC. They've been all over the place. Tons of memes, obviously lots of memes. The McCloskey, that one picture is never going away. And they're going to share that picture with even more people because 'tis the season, folks. We're coming into the holiday stretch here. I mean, we're almost done with September. Stores are already selling all sorts of crazy stuff if you've left your house and gone out. But they went out and they decided, hey, you know what? we're going to make that our Christmas card. So they went out, had these printed, had these made, and as you can imagine, these people are not well received or liked by the angry and not so loving left. There was a liberal troll of a protester who caught them and of course went right to the phone and started filming them and sharing her evil heart with them. This was the scene, and just wait and see how it ends. I love it. Roll the clip.
Abolish the suburbs. You are a terrorist.
Why are you
wearing a mask? No mask? You think pointing guns at protesters is nice? It's fun? You think you're cool? Abolish the suburbs! Abolish the suburbs! Abolish the suburbs! Fuck you and your guns! Fuck the Central West End! Fuck you! Fuck you! Don't come near me! Don't come near me! Abolish the suburbs!
Thank you. Bye, Mark!
Abolish the suburbs! Fuck both of y'all! Fuck y'all! Fuck y'all!
So, a merry early Christmas from the McCloskeys to the radical left. I love it. You know what? You guys are in my face saying a bunch of garbage. Here's a Christmas card. The best way for to spread cheer is singing loudly for all to hear. I think I heard that somewhere. Or giving a Christmas card. So pretty awesome. But abolish the suburbs. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But calling them terrorists. Calling the McCloskeys terrorists for defending them their home from terrorists. If anyone's a terrorist in this situation, you don't have a good 30,000 foot view of how this works and what the definition of terrorism is, young lady. The terrorist broke through a gate into a private community, threatened them, and sure, some of them in there were peaceful, but you broke laws to do it, and then the threats, a whole nother level. So defending, I just don't think that falls in the vein of terrorism. But I love how they double down. They give that. They didn't give them really any other ammunition. They just went about their day. And I just love that these people have the time to do this. We're going to talk about some other protesters, rioters, animals, whatever you want to call them. And I know that's an insult to animals. But whatever you want to call them, we're going to talk more about that in After Hours and how some of these are being funded. And you can see it. There's been evidence. There's more evidence now. But I just don't get what they do with their life and their day. How do you survive? How do you survive? You look for people, you look for protests, you look for riots, you look for opportunities to loot for people. It's just such a different world. There's no words because you can't break through to these people when they're that dumb and they're that unaware and that ignorant of how this world works. Bad job parenting with some of them. But speaking of pictures, they passed a picture out there. We're familiar with Sheriff Grady Judd from Polk County here in Florida. He's not some national figure, but he always comes out and says or does pretty awesome things. He makes his way into the news. And we're now at a point where sadly, it's a sad state of affairs. But we know that. We know that everything that's happening in 2020 paints a very drab, depraved, awful picture for where we are as a country. It's just not good. But we're at the point where now Grady Judd, and I think that he essentially trolls humanity with this press conference. Ron DeSantis is speaking, then Grady Judd gets up, and he uses pictures. We're at a point where you have to use pictures, even for adults, to explain good versus bad, right versus wrong. We really are. That's where we are. That's what he did here. Roll the clip.
I can tell you, folks, so that there's no misunderstanding today. This is a peaceful protest. This is a riot. We can tell the difference. The governor can tell the difference. Our law enforcement officers can tell the difference. In the event you didn't get that, let me show you something. This is a peaceful protest. This is looting. If you loot, the next thing you can try to steal is something off of your food tray at the county jail, because you're going to jail. That's a guarantee. And we're going to enjoy taking you down there. Some people are slow learners. This is peaceful protest. This is violence. It's not acceptable. I truly believe in our God-given right and our constitutional right to speak openly and freely, to address our government. That's important. We listen every day. But I've also watched across this country when law enforcement officers who put their life on the line were told to stand down.
Love it. I love it. I mean, the sad thing is those are clear visuals, right? You see, and if you're listening, he just was showing pictures of people holding up signs or wearing T-shirts and protesting peacefully. And then there was obviously fires and people looting and people still. But the contrast is so stark. I mean, it is very, very clear the differences. But even seeing those pictures, you know there's people in the mainstream media who were sitting at that press conference justifying in their head why and how Sheriff Grady Judd was wrong. Because they're that we live in this broken of a society, this broken of a year and stage of where we are as a country and where we are in life, that literally, you can't reason with these people. You cannot show them visible, physical, tangible, any kind of evidence that can convince them that they are not living in some upside down world. You can't do it. It's impossible. He did a hell of a job there trying to show pictures, because that's what a lot of people who are just listening and watching the mainstream media on a daily basis miss, because the more so lately, but still not enough. The media is not showing all the violence that's there. They'll show little pockets, little clips, but then pivot back to their narrative, pivot back to B-roll or footage of things that are much more peaceful. They'll put on Reverend Al Sharpton, they'll put on the lawyer for Breonna Taylor's family, they'll put on whatever and start ratcheting up your anger again so they can push the blame on Trump, conservatives, you, people like you, if you're watching this show, so they can put it on other people. And it's just, it's fascinating, it's depressing, and it's going to lead to our demise if we don't stand up and push back. And it's a sad state that we've got to show the pictures there. But if you've seen them, and you've seen the videos, share away, guys, share away this clip, share away videos you see on Twitter of how the scene actually looks down there, where people are being assaulted, where they're assaulting police officers. Share away, because the mainstream media won't do it. And we are at the point, again, where even as adults, we've got to use pictures. We've got to go back to like reading storybooks as kids and show, this is right, this is wrong. Don't do this. Don't do it, Timmy. You little son of a bitch, don't do it. We've got to use pictures. It's sad, but share away. People have got to see it. They've got to see the difference, and there have got to be consequences. What they did in Lancaster, PA, really, really strong. Love that, the million-dollar bomb. What they've done in other cities, pushing back. And frankly, we're going to talk about Louisville in after hours today, but their level of preparedness there was much better than we've seen in other cities. Some awful stuff happened last night. We're going to talk about it. But there's some cities who are doing it better than others. And there's some people who are darn near just encouraging chaos, like we've seen in Portland and other places. But we've got to see, as humans, we've got to see, moreover, as Americans, the difference. This is okay. The Constitution allows this. We fight for your freedom and your ability to have free speech and share your voice and opinions in this picture. But what you're doing in this picture is now crossed the line and is criminal, and there has to be consequences, and there has to be an understanding across the board that is what is happening across our country, and it's a sad state of affairs. Okay, on the other side, we're going to talk about freedom of speech and some other stuff with a documentary that's awesome, No Safe Spaces. Comedian, author, and the undisputed leader in podcasting, Adam Carolla, will join us. Stick around.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be used against you.
You are not listening.
I want your job to be taken from you.
A protest has turned violent at California, Berkeley.
This is why we're fighting for the soul of America.
You should be able to share ideas without fear of being fired from your job or shouted down.
You are not to be heard. This is one of the few things one could say we have no precedent for in the United States.
You have the right to remain silent.
The only way we separate the good ideas from the bad ideas is to be free to say whatever we want about them.
Anything you say will be used against you.
There's no free speech for fascists.
Your posts on Facebook, Twitter, and social media will be saved to shame you.
Kevin Hart has stepped down from hosting this year's Oscars.
Anything you say that we don't like will be used to shut you up. You can't be funny.
It's creating an atmosphere of fear and repression, and it's gonna bust.
You cannot think differently.
It makes it difficult for you to learn from other people.
Isn't it spooky that we're having this discussion?
You can't challenge us.
Kids grew up dipped in Purell, playing soccer games where they never kept score.
There is no debate.
The type of diversity that they hate is diversity of thought.
We reserve the right to be offended by everything.
No university should ever create a safe space.
You're not going to protect people. And so the best you can do is to make them strong.
It bothers me for the young people who are being deprived of anything that could open their minds.
You have the right to remain silent.
All right. So that was the trailer for No Safe Spaces, which just dropped on DVD and digital, by the way. If you haven't seen it, you need to go check it out. And you know our next guest. He partnered with Dennis Prager to do this. He's a comedian, author, undisputed top leader in podcasting. His show, The Adam Carolla Show. You've probably heard of this guy. He's a big deal. Adam Carolla joins us now. Adam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I love the project. Love what you've done with Dennis. I love just who you are. I love your career, by the way, just as a little side point. But I love this. Some of the people, though, aren't necessarily aware of the film. They should be, and shame on you if you're not. You're doing it wrong. But tell the audience a little bit about it and why it's so important to see it.
Well, you know, A, it's entertaining. Like, I don't want people to think they're just going to be preached at for 100 minutes in a kind of a tutorial snooze fest. It's got a lot of recognizable names in it. And there's lots of comedy in it as well. It's an important film because of where we're at now as a society. And it's also kind of an important film to share with younger people so they can see where we're at or where we were or where we may be going, where it seems like we're going at an alarming rate. So it's thought-provoking. It'll at least start a conversation. It's even-handed. There are many liberals in the film as well as conservatives. Of course, it's weird because the media has a rule, which is unless something is 100% progressive, it's conservative. It can't, if it's 60% conservative and 40% liberal, then somehow it's all conservative. I don't know how this works. So they've kind of labeled it that, but it's really not that. There's a lot of moderates in it, a lot of people on the left.
Yeah, well, I think that's huge. And I think, you know, you hear documentary, and maybe some people out there don't. And I love documentaries because they're fun. You pour a drink, you sit down, you watch, and you learn. But you hear it, and you don't normally think comedy and more entertainment with it. And to your point here, there is that. And there are so many recognizable names that I think are just, it's really fun. And the issue is so important because what you're saying, what you just said there about the media is so true. We see that. We experience that all the time. you experience a totally different version on the conservative side. You know, we're getting crushed right now in terms of the sites we run and the shows we do as we run up to the election. The throttling down is a real thing. But it's remarkable that is the case. That if you're not like so radically over here, then you're wrong and you're the enemy. It's like, no, guys, like we talk about it a lot in the show, like the far right fringe and the far left fringe. It's like, if we can just chill those people out or take them out of the conversation, there's a lot of people who can come together like you show and talk about these issues, which with it, it's just so important. I think it's cool that you guys did it. Tell me about this though, because speaking of bringing things together, you and Dennis Prager, different backgrounds, different people. How did this collaboration work? How did you guys get connected, and kind of inspired you to be like, you know what, let's make this?
Well, I've always been a fan of Dennis for years, decades, even since he used to do a show called Religion on the Line out here in Southern California. So I was always a fan of his because I always liked his wisdom. And of course, he didn't know who I was because, you know, I was the guy from Comedy Central and MTV. So he, of course, he had no idea who I was. But somebody pointed out to him, I think, that I was a fan of his and that actually we did sort of have a lot in common, even if it didn't seem like we had a lot in common. Philosophically, we have a lot in common. And so I was a guest on his radio show. And he enjoyed me being on his radio show. He thought I was a crack up. And it turned out, he said, we live in the same neighborhood. And so we socialized a little bit and we went and did a few speaking engagements together. And at some point, the producers just came to us and said, I got this idea for a movie and we think you guys would be the two perfect guys to spearhead this. And this sounds corny, but I jumped at the chance to work with Dennis, and I think Dennis probably jumped at the chance to work with me, as we love spending time together so much. We love discussion and thoughtful discussion and exchange of ideas. So we both just said, yeah, we're in.
I love it. Well, and I think it's a great match, obviously, and you can see that in the product, but his stuff is amazing. I mean, Prager stuff, they do such a great job. They've been pushing more commercials lately. I've seen a bunch of commercials on TV talking about donations, and you guys should go donate to them because they're making such an impact when it comes to this stuff. Like you're talking about in this film, the state of our country and free speech and everything that we're encountering, which is just wild to think about when you kind of think of how it used to be and where we've come from, this journey. That's a huge part of the film. Why is it so important, and why do you think it's under attack? Like why are we experiencing what we're experiencing in 2020 and kind of the lead up to this year when it comes to free speech?
Well, as I reflect on it now, we're living, and I'll just unpack this because I've never really said this out loud. So we'll see where this goes.
I love it.
We used to be a very tangible culture. It was about working at a sawmill or building things or doing things with your hands. And our culture was based around, a physicality. It wasn't a digital world we were living in. We're living in a world where you worked at a factory and you patched your own roof and you cleaned your gutters and you fixed your own car. And, you know, or going further back, you're tilling the soil and slaughtering the livestock and all that. Now we're in a fully digital world. And in a digital world, it's not about who's got the best hands. It's who can push out the most information. If you've got the information, if you can control the dialogue, if you can control the information, then you're winning the battle. You know, it used to be about who had more tanks or more soldiers. Now it's about who's winning the information war. So it would make sense to me, since there's a direct link now between power and information versus power and the size of your army or the size of your biceps, it would make sense to me now that the group that wanted the most power also wanted to control the most information.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And we're seeing and experiencing that now. I mean, there's so many stories out there that are just so distorted. And while there's maybe fractions of truth and elements of truth to it, what is being ultimately pushed out as the narrative and the story that they want people to consume is bogus, and it's not all true. But because the mainstream media in this case has the mouthpiece, they've got, you know, 90% over 90% of the outlets out there and can really push this down, people believe it because they all are sharing the same thing. It's like the worst game of the phone tag, however you want to describe it, but it's scary, and that there is so much power in that, and I feel like it hurts us even more on this particular side, but it should hurt everyone. Like, regardless of what side anyone is on, people should see that as that's not a fair and balanced approach to life, to discussion, to whatever. How, pivoting real quick within that, you're a comedian, you're a hilarious dude, you've grown up in that, you know tons of other comedians, there's other comedians in this film. With this, like, woke culture that I just hate, with this cancel culture, with everything that we're dealing with, how hard is it to be a comedian with so many people out there watching and listening for every little thing you say?
Well, it is difficult for some comedians and some personalities who are trying to kind of ride that wave of Hollywood acceptance, being embraced by that community, being cast in projects. If you're attempting to ride that wave, it's a very difficult balancing act. You're literally just on a surfboard 24/7, sort of going, oh boy, okay, all right, okay. For me personally, I've just told all those people to kiss my ass. I'm not apologizing to them, and I don't want their jobs. I make my own money. I make my own jobs. I have my own product, and I'm also journeyman carpenter. So if everything falls apart, I'll go back to being a carpenter. So I've told that whole group, kiss my ass. I don't apologize. I'm not, you're not going to cast me in your sitcom anyway. You're not going to give me a role in the movie. There's nothing you can do for me because you're not going to do anything for me. And I don't need you to do anything for me. I'm specifically set out and created my own product. And so they don't bother me because they can't get anything for me. Really, what they want is for you to get on your knees and apologize to them because you need them, and then they can lord that power over you. Once they realize you don't care about whatever power they may have or don't have, then they leave you alone. Then no one asks me to apologize. No one asks me for anything, and I don't care, and they don't care they don't care either. So I just, for me, it's easy. For everyone else who's trying to kind of win the popularity contest in this ever-shifting set of rules and values that Hollywood spits out every 10 minutes, well, that's a bit of a balancing act.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I hope if there's anything that comes from this shitty year that we're dealing with is that people, and I sadly, it probably won't, but hopefully for at least a fraction of society, is they learn to stand up for who they are and stop placating and kowtowing, I'm making up words, kowtowing to these people, bending the knee, whatever, because there's so many issues where everything pisses everyone off now. And like you're saying there with Hollywood, like, well, if it doesn't affect me, if you're upset about something, if I don't care what you think in the first place, and if everyone would just kind of take that attitude, I think it would just lead us down a much better path. We'd cancel this cancel culture garbage that's out there. And I love your approach to it. I tend to take the same thing. I'm fine with people having different opinions. I think it's cool. Like, that's great. Don't shove your stuff down my throat. I won't do it down yours. And then we'll be good. Like, we move on from there. But people can't do it. They get so upset, and then people cave. And it's...
Well, they can't do it because... Well, it's not that they can't do it. They won't do it. And the reason they won't do it is because nobody wants to hear someone else's opinion that disagrees with them, or many don't. But you and I realize there's always going to be people who differ with you, and part of living in a free society is hearing those opinions on occasion. What they have done is they have taken what is your opinion and what is my opinion and labeled it or deemed it dangerous or hate speech. And now they can get to their goal, which is not hearing your opinion. They can't say, I don't want to hear your opinion, but they can say, I don't want to hear your dangerous hate speech. And now we can begin the process of silencing you.
Yeah. this year. It's speaking of cancel culture and all this wokeness, you've got a book on it I want to touch on real quick before we go. It's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. I love that. Navigating Our All Woke No Joke Culture. Tell the audience a little bit about that and where they can find it.
You can get it anywhere you get books, Amazon and bookstores and airports and stuff like that. It is a very straight ahead, no apologies approach, but with a lot of comedy in it to everything that's going on right now. I cannot tell you how many times my publisher said, are you sure you want to say that? You can't say that. We're going to get in trouble if you say that. And I just pushed back every time and said, that's what I'm saying. So it's, you want to know about what's going on. You want a really clear, just in your face, rebuke of all that is going on CNN. Go get that book. And everything ends with comedy.
I love it. And we need that. I mean, God, like all this stuff, whether it's the damn pandemic or it's the election or it's the riots or peaceful protests, as they're called, across, like, there needs to be discussion about it, but there's got to be some humor in it, and ideally maybe a drink or two. Listen, we love it. We love what you're doing. Love the book. Please go check it out, people. Also, check out No Safe Spaces. Adam, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being a voice of reason, for being funny as you do it. We love it. We love it, and we'll look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Drew.
All right, that was awesome. Love having Adam on the show. Again, I'm a big fan. Maybe there's a little, you know, bromance there. I don't know. But I'm thrilled to have talked with him. Glad that he could come on and share stuff with you guys. You need to go check out his book. If he didn't just sell you on it there, I know most of you guys in this audience, and it's right up your alley. So you need to go check it out. It's again, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All Woke No Joke Culture. Also check out No Safe Spaces, amazing documentary that he and Dennis Prager did. Really, really good stuff. All right. Fun show today. Glad to be back. It was kind of a weird week. You know, we had some pre-recorded stuff. We had some regular shows as I was traveling, doing some stuff with Mammoth Nation. But we're back in the saddle. We're going. We've got one more great episode this week and a bunch of them next week as well. So we're looking forward to bringing those to you. In After Hours, I've been saying this all day. In After Hours, we're going to talk about Breonna Taylor. We're going to talk about Louisville. We're going to talk about who the hell's funding these elections. I'll preface it by saying I don't have all the answers, but we're going to show you some evidence that just further proves that these aren't just spontaneous. They're not spontaneous at all, folks. So we'll get into all that in After Hours. If you're listening on the podcast, you can stay right here and just listen to the After Hours bumper. If you need to turn it down for a second, you can do it. You've been warned. And then we'll get into it. If you're watching, you can head on over to the After Hours section on YouTube or on the website, drewberquist.com. Check it out there. Lots of good stuff coming up. If you have to take off, we appreciate you. We thank you for being here today. Thanks for putting up with our wonky schedule this week. And remember, folks, it's important that we have our own opinions, our ideas, and we share them. And it's important that you're bold about them. It's important that you don't bow to other people's opinions and ideas just because they think that you should, like Adam and I talked about there. But this is my show, and I'm going to tell you what I think. We hope you enjoyed it. See you tomorrow. Cities are on fire again, folks. Welcome to After Hours. Big news yesterday out of Louisville. We knew that news of some variety was coming, and we really frankly knew that regardless of what the news was, there'd be some sort of violent activity out there because it's 2020. That's the kind of the year that we're dealing with. But grand jury determined that it was in fact not a no-knock warrant, that there's witnesses and corroborating information that says there was a knock. There was sharing the fact that police were there. And everything the media has been telling you, or at least a darn good amount of it, has been bogus. Shocker, right? Shocker. The media lies? Yeah, they do all the time. They're really good at it. So good that they don't even know they're doing it. I think that's part of the problem. But the news came down. Charges dropped for the two. some minor, you can just call them appeasement charges, just to say that there was something for the third officer. But very predictably, things went crazy in Louisville. Not just in Louisville, St. Pete, Florida, a bunch of other places. We're not going to show you clips from all this. You can go on Twitter, YouTube, wherever, and find them. There's tons of clips out there to show you the outrageous behavior from Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the Democrats and donors who are funding them. But you can go watch that. But it was everywhere. Two police officers were shot in Louisville because meeting fake information and lies with violence is always the answer to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And that's what they did. You could see stuff kind of getting ready, things getting prepped as it was still daylight in Louisville. Lots of news reporters there, lots of live on the scene reports. Things weren't that crazy yet. Police prepared. National Guard eventually came in. You had FBI people there, tactical units there, all sorts of stuff going on. But Major Gregory and Officer DeRoches were shot during all this mayhem. Praise God, they're okay. One was discharged last night. One was discharged, or is expected to be, but had surgery and is recovering. Expected to be discharged, and thankfully they're going to be okay. But it's absolutely ridiculous that, again, we've seen this. We've seen this all damn year. We've seen this back with Ferguson. We've seen this with so many cases. The case is blown out of proportion. And it's not, I'm not saying it's great that Breonna Taylor, I'm not celebrating her death. It's tragic that she died. I'm just saying that people blow these stories out of proportion. They get all the wrong information, they add to it, and then they run with it and burn stuff, assault people, kill people. When in fact, the truth is over here, and they just went through the wrong door. Went through the wrong door, and they didn't go through the wrong door. They kicked down the door and went in like wild banshees. When if they would just stop, take a breath, maybe sip on some tea. I'm not a big tea guy, but I hear it's calming, so sip on some tea. Have a cocktail. I am definitely a cocktail guy. Have a cocktail and wait for some of the information to come out. And then in the end, you still shouldn't riot, burn things down, burn businesses down, assault people, verbally or physically. Do basically anything that you have done throughout this year. Just don't do that. Do something different. But you should not do that even if the information comes out and it's true and the worst and what the media has been telling you is actually what in fact happened. But time and time again this year, whether it's George Floyd, whether it's Jacob Blake, whether it's the Atlanta case, I can't think, Rayshard Brooks, whether it's that, you know, whatever the case might be, or Breonna Taylor, very, very rarely have most of the facts lined up for what the media is telling you and what these angry kids and animals in the streets are preaching. And again, I'm not trying to insult animals, but I'm just trying to make it clear that they don't have certain wires connected and firing. Their synapse is not operating the way that they should. So they jump ahead. And they jump ahead not just because they think that they have a different version of the story and they want it to, but they think that because they're told that by their masters. They're told that. The mainstream media pushes it further, spins everyone up because they want anarchy. They want mayhem. They want violence in the streets because it paints a picture where they can come in and say that we'll control this. And see, the right, they're fascists. They're Nazis. They're this, that, and the other. They're authoritarians. They're dictators. All the things that if you look at any of those definitions, the actual ones, not ones that Google has manipulated to be anti-conservative, but the actual definitions, they describe Democrats, they describe Antifa, they describe Black Lives Matter, they describe all of these groups that are out there causing this mayhem, and the irony is unreal. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But they're so blinded with their hate, their rage, and their lack of intelligence that they can't see that they are the very thing that they're accusing all of us for. But this was interesting yesterday. So you have this violence. Again, very predictable. We knew this was coming. It's been happening all year anyway. So as soon as you have a trigger point, like getting a decision on what's happening with this case, you know that there's going to be subsequent violence after it. But as we've talked about, as we've seen in New York and so many in Portland, all these places where trucks pull up and deliver stuff, pallets of bricks, people have different projectiles passed out. They have weapons passed out, shields passed out. Granted, they're made of pool noodles, which are going to do nothing. Another just perfect example of what weak creatures Antifa and Black Lives Matter is. But this clip yesterday that a lot of you have seen by now just goes to show this was still in the daylight in Louisville. The decision comes down. Democrats, whether it's Soros, whether it's people connected to Soros, whether it's other groups out there, are prepared and ready to go for this. And the scene that even you would see on Fox News, who will show more of this than CNN and MSNBC, who just says it's the wrong decision and cops are awful and you should hate conservatives. That is their narrative. That is their message. That's what they push. So, but they'll show the peaceful signs, and they'll show these signs that always, and you could see it. The perfect example was Chaz Chop in Seattle. We're coming in, we're taking over this area, and Jenny Durkin's awful. She's a worthless person. And they let it happen. But immediately upon having it happen, there was like well-produced street signs and banners and all this stuff for Chaz Chop, Chaz to start, then Chop, that were already ready. They were ready because this was planned. And the same thing happened, and more footage and more evidence was shown yesterday in Louisville. This was the scene at a U-Haul truck. Does this look spontaneous to you? Roll the clip. Abolish the police sign coming out of there. Abolish now. Get ready, kids. We're going to protest tonight. Daddy Warbucks is dropping off all your weapons and your signs. Let's make this look like we're all in cohesion. Not like we're all from out of town and we're paid protesters and there's people pulling purse strings and there's people running logistics operations for these and there's people directing and dictating how and where we're going to protest and what we're going to do and what our objectives are. A lot of it is just mayhem and pandemonium. Once they get going, they're, you know, again, they're animals off the leash. They just are what they're going to do, what they're going to do. But there is a method to the madness. There is some strategy on the front end before they unleash the chaos and the mayhem. And that's further proof of it. And I can't say that's all Soros. We know Soros is involved in some of that. I can't say it's all this Democrat or that Democrat. At the end, DOJ is going to have to investigate, and they're going to, whether it's a RICO investigation or whatever, something's going to have to be done to figure this out and stop this. Because otherwise, guess what? There's going to be more of it over, you know, the next several months. There's going to be more into 2021, and there's damn sure going to be more in 2024 when elections roll around. But you don't see the kind of stuff we've seen this year, and people are dumb. People don't remember these folks who love their social media. They love to film people, and it always turns around and makes the person filming look worse in most cases, especially when it's Antifa or Black Lives Matter. But they forget that other people are filming you too. And we see in some great gem videos like this that this is an operation. This is a plan. This isn't spontaneous. This isn't dumb little kids running around. It is dumb little kids, but there's dumb little kids being controlled and being strategically organized by a bigger organization, by a bigger person, and we've got to stop it, and we can't be assaulting police officers. Again, thank God that these two, you know, Officer Gregory and DeRoches are going to be okay. But this is all, guys, this is all on a case that was inaccurately described by the media the whole time. And as tragic as it is that she died, the way that this whole ordeal happened, crappy as it is, these officers should have walked like they are. At least the two that weren't charged there. So I'll tell you, we're in for it. It's going to be more of this. Prepare. But anyone you can get to, anyone that you can share footage of and share reality with and break through, you know, it's going to be like an ice pick at first. You're just going to be getting a little bit off. But if you can break through and get them to stop listening to the bullshit that the mainstream media is sharing with them, slowly but surely, we'll make some progress as a country. Slowly but surely. But we've got to push back against this. We can't have it. We've got to protect our fine men and women in blue, our first responders, our military. National Guard was there last night. We've got to do that. It's okay to do that. You're not racist for loving America. You're not racist for protecting your community. You're not racist for being a law enforcement officer. You're not racist for being in the military. And you're not racist for having a conservative talk show that has a different version of the news, the truth, than what the mainstream media is out there telling you. All right, make sure that if you haven't done so already, you give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler. You can see all those right down there. You can also just go and search Drew Berkowitz. We greatly appreciate you doing so. If you haven't subscribed, you can do so right here on YouTube. Just click the button. If you want notifications, you can do the bell icon after that. We greatly appreciate your viewership in doing that. One more great show for you tomorrow, this week, and a whole full slate of them next week. Thanks for being here, guys. Glad to be back with you.